turn to James chapter number 5. James, it's after Hebrews. It's easier to find Hebrews and then go a couple of pages after to find James. Hebrews and then James chapter 5 and verse number 13. I'm going to read a little bit here, and I hope it'll be a blessing. In the book of James, now just a little backstory, James is the half-brother of Jesus. He is not James the apostle. This is the James who is the, we believe, the oldest natural son of Mary and Joseph. After Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph went on to have 4 boys and at least 2 girls. We only have the boys' as names, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. None of those 4 guys believed the gospel and were saved before the resurrection. They didn't believe Jesus to be the Messiah. But afterwards, the Bible records that he went and showed himself unto James. So in the New Testament, it says that. Well, that was his brother. And James became, after Peter left Jerusalem to go on a missions trip and spread the gospel, James became the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. He took over. He's the one that was pastoring when Paul and Barnabas came back to explain how that the Gentiles have received the gospel. They came back to meet with James. It wasn't James the apostle. James the apostle was like one of the first apostles to die. You know, Herod killed him. This is James, and this book is written by the half-brother of Jesus. So if you'll look in verse number 13, by the way, Jude, the book of Jude, is written by one of Jesus' brothers. Jude is not one of the apostles. That was Mary and Joseph's other brothers. James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. Judas was the youngest son of Mary and Joseph. Verse 13 of chapter 5, is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders, do you see this, of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. In 10 years, no one's asked me to do that. Just saying, of all the Bible promises, nobody ever calls and says, I'm sick, would you come anoint my head with oil? And I'm not making a joke of that. I've actually done it in Arkansas, and I've watched a couple of times, and I've watched God answer those prayers in a miraculous way. So would you believe in faith healers? No. Do I believe in healing by faith? Yeah. But do I believe in faith healers like Benny Hinn and Ken Copeland and these other monkeys? No, not at all. Those guys are fakes. Look, otherwise, why wouldn't you go down to Inova Hospital and start at the top floor and work your way to the morgue? Right? That's what I'd do if I had that kind of power. It's so any sick, right? Verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. He's talking about prayer. These are instances for prayer. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. That's intercession, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We're going to park on that verse quite a while tonight. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Let us pray. Father, we love you. And tonight, God, as we look at the concept of prayer, we look at it. Sometimes it seems unimaginable or really ununderstandable. But God, tonight you can help us with that. Write it upon our hearts. Holy Spirit, open our understanding to the concept of prayer. If we have a failing, it's a prayer failing. Help us tonight, God, as your people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, conversion is a miracle of a moment. The moment a person trusts Christ as their Savior, they're born again. It is not a process. There is no method you follow. You trust Christ as your Savior, and bang, at that instant, you are born again. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. You are sealed by the Spirit of God. You are now declared righteous in God's sight. You are right, righteous. Your sins have been removed from you. The penalty has been removed and dropped into the sea of forgetfulness. God sees all your past, present, and future sins covered by the blood. And now he is right and righteous to forgive you. And it is the miracle of a moment. But the manufacture of a saint, Now, a saint is a born-again believer who follows after God, a disciple. The manufacture of a disciple is a lifelong task. One of the great things about our deacon and some of our other elder men and women in this church, they've been walking with God faithfully, and they're still continuing to grow spiritually. They'll still pull you, if you ask them, so what did Lord give you this week? Oh, let me tell you what God gave me in my devotions this weekend. And they're like, wow, this really, and it's still an alive, vibrant thing. Discipleship is a lifelong task. So developing and keeping a heart for God involves time and it involves spiritual growth. And today, when you talk to people on the job, Ms. Mix and I, we strike up conversations at the secondhand shop, don't we, babe? Everywhere we go, we're talking to people about what's going on around us and God, and we're just chatting and stuff like that. And the whole conversation starts with, hey, that's a nice top. And then they'll just break off into religion and talking. And people have everything from soup to nuts ideas about prayer. Some people, it's like a wish list. And some people, it's a ritual. They say their prayers every night, and they say the same things over and over again. Some, it's an SOS signal. You know, SOS meaning I'm emergency, I'm in trouble. You know, and they only use prayer when they're in trouble. And some as a good luck charm. But Bible-based prayer, if you don't get anything else out of it tonight, Bible-based prayer is communication with the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what prayer is. Now, the purpose of prayer is here in James 5, 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer starts at conversion. A lot of people don't, you know, I used to say all kinds of crazy prayers before I got saved. All kinds, like I hope that police didn't see me. I hope that cop didn't see me. I hope that cop didn't see me. I hope he's not getting out to come after me. I hope he ain't coming out after me. You know what I'm saying? You know, I pray all kinds of foolish things. But at the moment, Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. At that moment, I became God's child, and my prayers began. That was the first prayer I believe. God, you know, God hears everything. God knows all the foolish things I've prayed, please. But at that moment, I became his child. And as a lost sinner, I could pray and ask God to save me. You know, in Luke 18, it says, the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God heard that prayer. And Jesus said that man went down to his house justified. The dying thief in Luke chapter 23, the dying thief prayed and was received by Jesus Christ. Luke 23 and verse 39, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and that's what he did, hanging there on the cross. You understand crucifixion is an asphyxiation. You strangling. When your rib cage is stretched, your diaphragm can't go down and draw air into your lungs. So you have to manually pull yourself up on the nails, take a breath, and hold yourself there and breathe. You finally succumb to it. It's an agonizing death. Some people take days to die. The dying thief prayed and was received, and Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So true prayer is not about friendship with God. True prayer is about kinship with God. True prayer is about being God's child. Now, prayer is a conversation with God. So don't complicate it. Don't complicate it. I know people who buy books of prayers and they read them out loud, and some do that to get an inspiration on what to say and ask for. That's fine. But others do it because they think it's a good luck charm. You know, we have several moms in here today, and let me tell you, if there's a baby that cries in the nursery, one of you knows it's yours, right? You're listening. You can hear. You've trained yourself to listen. God listens for his child's cry. That's what's funny. Whenever we sit at a family reunion or a family gathering back in Illinois, and I'd hear somebody, some kid howl because they got hit or pinched, and I'd look at Miss Mix, and she'd go, no, it's not ours. That's not ours. You know what I'm saying? And then she'd nod her head. When the other one comes, she'd nod her head and get up there. You know what I'm saying? Because she could tell. Moms know the cry of their baby. Let me tell you something. God knows the cry of his child. Always listening. Like always open. We can also go about our daily duties listening for the prompting of God. Prayer is a conversation with God. It is a two-way conversation. And if you'll listen, God will speak to you. We are to pray about everything, Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, prayer is a command. Luke 18:1, Jesus taught a parable that men ought always to pray and not faint. And the best reasons for doing anything, of course, is because God commands it. But prayer is a continual turning of our heart to God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. Well, what does that look like? I mean, you find these Hindus over in India, they're constantly with every step taking a bow and saying, no, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about you being in constant contact with the Lord. You're open to listening for Him. He's open to listen to you. You're praying about everything and you're recognizing He is there all the time. Prayer is a channel for Christians to get everything. That's another thing I think people forget about prayer. Prayer is the channel you and I have been given by God to get everything God wants us to have. That's James 4:2. You have not because you ask not. The lost world advances and gets their stuff by schemes and by cheating and or by accident, but that's not how the Christian's supposed to do things. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew 7:7. Matthew 7:7. Matthew 7:7. The Bible reads, ask. We overcomplicate things. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? God knows how to answer prayer. Now, prayer is God's way for the Christian not only to get everything we need. Prayer is God's way of us to having the fullness of joy. In John 16:24, the Bible says, hereunto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. When a child has every whim immediately met, he becomes a brat. When you constantly answer the demand of your child, you create a demanding child. But when someone prays and then they see the Lord providing, there's a joy to that. And part of the Awana program that's going on downstairs is to teach your children to have an active prayer life. Because as they grow up knowing the Bible, asking things of God, and God answering those things, they will get in a habit of having their own faith, their own walk with God. And when they get to college and those secular atheists try to destroy their faith, they're going to be like, you mean the guy that's been talking to me for 12 years and answering my and providing for me isn't real? You're out of your mind. That's how you keep a child from their faith getting ruined, is they have to have their own faith. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. When God answers your prayer, he never gives you something that's going to hurt you. Prayer is the only way to have power of the power of the Holy Spirit for God's work in your life. Luke 11:13, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You know, prayer preceded Pentecost. Acts 1 had to happen before Acts 2 could happen. And Acts 4, prayer gave them the power to endure persecution. Peter and John, were beaten, Acts 4 and verse 31. And they counted themselves, privileged to do that. It was prayer that sustained him. In Acts 9, Paul received the power of the Holy Spirit after praying. You know, he prayed and fasted for 3 days and got right with God after the Lord met him. Prayer is, it does have asking, but it also has adoration, it has confession, it has thanksgiving. But many of us do not come daily to God for provision and our needs. We kind of get used to just drive-throughs and ordering ahead on an app and things. We don't get it. We're not in the habit of asking, do you want me to do this, or how shall I pay for this, or God, I need this. But when cancer arrives at your door, or murder, or HIV, or tragedy, we get real serious about prayer. Real serious. And I'm not saying God's punishing us for not praying. I'm just saying life will happen. And one of the side benefits is it causes us to pray. Prayer is the way out of trouble, the cure for all worry and anxiety. Take your Bible, turn to Philippians 4. If you're dealing with worry and anxiety, Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 6, look what it says. Be careful for nothing. Well, how do you do that? Well, the opposite of being careful about everything is in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. My friend Bob Gray had a counseling office in his church, and as people would arrive for counseling, above the door it said, have you prayed about it yet? Why come talk to me until you've talked to God? Go talk to God about it, then come talk to me about it. And if it's, and verse 7 in Philippians 4 says, and the peace of God. When you pray, when you take these things to God and you lay them at his feet, and you by faith you know he's going to answer because he promised he would, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, if prayer is the way to get what you want and to be full of joy, it must be the way out of trouble, worry, and care. Now, prayer is the perfect act of faith because you can't see God, right? So when you talk to him, what are you doing? 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care. What are you doing? You're reaching out to him by faith. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Prayer is a confirmation of God's deity. When I ask God for something, I'm showing God his sovereignty. That he is the one who I believe can answer. And every time we ask, we receive, and it reaffirms our faith in him. And I'll tell you what's great about that is the lost world cannot refute that. See, when somebody says to you at work and says, well, listen, my mom's sick. Well, listen, what's her name? Well, her name's Helen. I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to intervene. And when you pray and God does, how do they answer you? They go, they don't know what to say, but they certainly don't snicker that it, you know, oh yeah, sure, you prayed. No, I did. Especially if you call them later and say, listen, I've been praying last 3-4 days, hadn't had a chance to talk to you. How's your mom? When I'm out knocking on doors and talking to people, they'll say, well, I appreciate you coming by, and I'll say, was there something I can pray for you about? And then I'll follow up, how you doing? We're asking God by faith. You know, Elijah, it said in James here, back in James 5, that Elijah was subject unto the same passions we are. Means he was a sinner just like us. But he prayed and God answered. We're praying to the same God that allowed Elijah to stand up to 450 prophets of Baal, dump water on his sacrifice, and still call down fire from heaven. That's the God we're praying to. We're asking of the same God that prayed with Moses. You know, in Exodus 8:19, when God split the Red Sea, Moses said it was like I was looking at the finger of God. That's the same God you pray to. We're asking the same God that Daniel prayed to. In Daniel 2:47, after he survived the night with the lions, the king said, your God is the God of gods. He's also omnipresent. We talked about this in God's characteristics. That means I can pray anywhere and be heard. I can be alone in my alone spot. I can be in my car. I pray a lot in my car. I do because I'm alone. I have time to talk. You know what I'm saying? I love to pray in my car. Some people pray because they're driving. Some people pray because I'm driving. But still, I'm alone and I can pray. But you can pray anywhere. It's crazy to think this, but the people on the International Space Station can pray, and God will hear. Elon Musk, if he ever gets us to Mars, you can pray on Mars, and God will hear you. You can be in the lowest mine on this earth, and God will hear you. Psalm 139 in verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. You cannot get away from God. He's omniscient. He knows what we need. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions. What does that mean? Don't speak without thinking. Don't just go over the same thing all the time. You know, they have books of prayers in some churches. No, when you pray, don't do it like the heathen does, for they think they'll be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. He knows your desire. Psalm 37, 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thine heart. Prayer is a conversation. It's you and God communicating through Christ because you're a child of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. You ought to let the Holy Spirit guide you when you pray. Have you ever prayed and found yourself praying about things you weren't thinking of before you started praying? Well, that was the Holy Spirit bringing it up, going, hey, why don't you talk to the Father? Would love to hear about this. Prayer is not just a conversation, it's a consistency. It needs to be a daily thing. Psalm 86 and verse 3, the Bible says, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. The sad thing is many of us as Christians live what I call crisis management Christianity. When we have a problem, that's when we get serious. Listen to what Psalm 50 says in verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. See, prayer needs to be a daily ask from God. Mark 11 and verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. I love that. God promises to answer our prayer. Listen to what it says in John 15, 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You're also to pray for the afflicted. Pray for those that are sick. I know when I'm sick, I pray. Do you know what I mean? When I'm feeling sick, okay, I'm praying. I'm talking to the Lord. When I had COVID for 10 days and I felt like I was drugged through a knothole, I prayed. Okay, when I got it the second time and I felt bad for 3 days, I prayed. The third time I got COVID, I was sick for about 3 hours. I was still praying. But whenever I pray, whenever I'm sick, I pray. When I have a migraine, I pray. When suffering hardship and grief, God doesn't promise always to remove the affliction, but he does promise to give us the grace to endure it. When suffering, that's what you do. The Bible says in James 4, 6, but he giveth more grace. That means today there's more grace available to me than there was to me yesterday. It's new grace, and he giveth grace to the humble. So we should pray for the sick. That's what it said in James 5 in our text. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I believe that works. Do you believe God still heals today? Yes, I do. I was in California on a recruiting trip in November, and the LA Times, the paper there at the LA airport said, faith healer smacked her on the head and she died 30 seconds later of a heart attack. It's sad, but I'm kind of like, no, faith healers are fake. But healing by faith, oh yeah, that works because I'm going to God. Prayer of faith brought before a holy God is the key to true healing within the will and plan of God. You realize Paul healed people, but Paul didn't get healed. You realize Paul's traveling companion was sick, and Paul prayed, and he didn't get healed for quite a long time. Is it because God can only heal some and not all? No, because it's not always in God's plan. James 5:15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they'll be forgiven. James 5:19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from error of his way shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. And the truth is, sin hinders our prayer life. The Bible tells us this. In Isaiah, it says that his hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins and iniquities have separated between you and your God, and he won't hear. You know, Elijah was no different than us. That's what it says in our text, James 5 And verse number 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it not rain, and it rained not on the earth. We think he was superhuman. He wasn't. He had the same temptations, but he asked big prayers. How long has it been since you asked a big prayer? You know, there's hundreds and hundreds of examples in the Bible of prayers being asked and received, an answer received. And you know, they all had one thing in common, and that was they all asked. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know if he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. But in 1 John 3:22, the Bible says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Sin hinders our prayer life. If we're not right with God, or vertically, God doesn't reward bad behavior. If I'm not right with the people around me, God isn't answering my prayers. Prayer is not just a conversation. You know, a source of power. It's a persistency. It's us staying at it. You know, it's not a one and done. James 5:16 says the effectual fervent prayer. Effectual. It has an effect. It accomplishes things. You know, Jesus woke up every morning and prayed. That's what Mark 1:35 says. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So a prayer, but prayer takes effort. As you read in Mark 9, as they come off the Mount of Transfiguration, there was a man with a child who was demon-possessed, and the apostles couldn't cast him out. And so Jesus came down and rebuked the spirit and cast him out, and they said, why couldn't we? And he said, it takes prayer and fasting for this kind. There's also what I call importunate prayer, meaning prayer that is persistent. A couple weeks ago, I preached on the unjust judge and the woman who kept asking and asking and asking. The judge says, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear along with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. You know, Acts 12, they prayed all night, and then Peter was released. And Luke 22, Jesus prayed three times in agony. You know, prayer is not about me getting my will done in heaven. Prayer is me getting God's will done on earth in my situation. So we must remain faithful. That's why it says the effectual fervent, like heat, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Would you classify your prayers as fervent? Lady was traveling first class on United Airlines, and she opened up her meal, and in the bottom of it, there was a roach. And she was aghast, and she wrote a letter to the president of the airlines how that she was, you know, I've come to expect better service, and this is horrible, it's unsanitary. Well, she got a letter back. And the president of the airline said, dear Miss So-and-so, we're so sorry about this. Yes, we are researching this problem now, and we have went to and checked, and we're probably going to change caterers because of this, and we're sorry because this is not the level of standard of care and standard of excellence that we operate by, and blah, 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 blah. We're sorry. We hope you'll reply with us again. And then she noticed that stapled to the backside of that letter was her letter. And at the bottom, there was a note written by the president, send the standard roach letter. This is a true story. You know, she was reading it thinking she was being, you know, vindicated. You're right, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. Well, the secretary messed up and send the standard roach letter. And I think sometimes many of our prayers are the standard roach letter. Now I lay me down to sleep. Or some ritual we do. Or a habit we fulfill. Instead of it being a vibrant communication between two people. The prerequisite of prayer is found in James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, when you trust Christ as your Savior, you are positionally righteous. You are now God's child, Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus was delivered for our offenses, Romans 4 says, and raised for our justification. So now we have the righteousness of God applied to our life. When God sees us, he sees his Son. Romans 3:22 says that. I cannot forgive my own sin. I totally trust in God to do it. So I turn to him not only as my Savior, but now in practical living, I'm to be holy because he's holy. That's what 1 Peter 1:16 says. But because I am God's child, Hebrews 4 tells us I can come boldly under the throne of grace. I can come right into God's presence every time I pray, and I can receive mercy when I mess up, and we all do. But I can also receive grace to help me stay faithful. But the Bible says that our prayer life is hindered when we sin. Are you out of sorts with God today? You know what I'm talking about. You get out of sorts sometimes with your boss. Sometimes you get out of sorts with your spouse. Or maybe you're out of sorts with your parents. Or you're out of sorts with your best friend. Are you out of sorts with the Lord today? Then confess your sin and be right with God. The Bible actually says that when we're not right with our spouse, God is not listening to our prayers. But the performance to prayer is just basically pray. It's just talk to God. There's no fancy way it has to be done. You don't have to use big flowery words. You don't have to have correct English. I don't even know if you have to have correct spelling while you pray. Just pray, right? Just pray. When's the last time you talked to God? When's the last time you acknowledged his presence? When's the last time you just said, hey, it's me, and yeah, But I will tell you that in the model prayer, when they said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, the first things he talked about was God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will. Before he ever got to our daily bread, he said, you should start off by praising his name, asking for his kingdom to expand, and the concern of his will being done here on this earth. That's what it meant in 1 John chapter 5, if we ask anything according to his will. You know, I can tell you there are things that are in the will of God for people. Like, it's always God's will that people get saved. So when I'm praying for someone's salvation, I am asking for the will of God. I'm asking for what God wants. It's God's will that we be sanctified, that we separate from this world and make ourselves available unto God. So and to grow and these types of things. So I'm praying for people. I'm praying that they do that. I am praying for things. I'm asking for things God already wants. You know, our children sometimes figure out, you know, if I ask for something God mom already wants, well then we'll go do it, you know, because mom already wants this. Of course, they never ask, Mama, is it all right with you if I go clean my room? I mean, seriously, if they asked that, what would you say? Oh, yes, honey, here you go, here's a broom. You know what I mean? You'd be giving them what they need. Why? Because it's in mom's will for that to happen. When you know you're praying in God's will, it's because you're asking for something you know God already wants. Well, how do I know what God wants? Well, Jesus said in John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words, the Bible, abides in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. The more I read this book, the better I know God, and my heart aligns with his heart, and I'm asking for the same thing. I also pray in his name. You know, I have access to God now. Well, people say to me, well, do you believe in exorcists? No. Do I believe in spiritual warfare? I do. And you, with the word of God in front of you and the spirit of God within you, have, if you're right with God, have the authority to command those agents of darkness. If you're right with him. Now, if you're not right with him, man, and you better be prayed up. And the truth is, you got to abide in his word. You need to pray in his name. And you need to be right with God. Because they'll know it. In the Bible, there are several people who tried it. There's Acts 8, you have Simon the sorcerer who thinks, you know, praying in Jesus' name is like hocus pocus. In Acts 19, you've got the seven sons of Sceva that figure they can call on Jesus' name and the demon will answer. The demon says, you know, I know Paul and I know Jesus, but I don't know you. And then he ate their lunch, basically. But because you have the Word of God in front of you and the Spirit of God within you, you have the authority to pray and the right to ask because Jesus said you could. A lot of times I'll mention that. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, it's here. It says in John 14, 13, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I'll go to the Father when I pray and I'll say, God, your Son said I could. Your Son said I could ask. And so I'm asking in Jesus' name. Because when I'm assigning his name to it, I'm not forging it. He said I could do it because I'm his child. You know, sometimes you have a child that writes a permission or signs your name to a permission slip or whatever. That's forgery. And when lost people try to invoke the name of Christ, it's forgery. They're not Christ's kid. So pray. But also, I would say pray specifically. Mark 11 says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. You know, you're very specific in the way you order food, aren't you? Right? You get your app out, you go to Tropical Smoothie. Do I want a fat burner? Do I want Splenda? Do I want peanut butter? Do I want whey protein? Do I want this kind of protein? And you're clicking all the dots, right? You order Domino's pizza. You're real serious about, listen, dude, I want half this and half that and only this and stay away from that. And why do we have trouble praying specifically? I think it's because we're afraid God will say no because it's us. No, God wants us to pray specifically. When Gideon put out the fleece in Judges 6, he was very specific. I want water on the ground, but not on the fleece. Or I want water on the fleece, but not on the ground. And when I'm making decisions, I'm asking God for clear, plain, and straight. God, if you want me to do this, then open the door and leave it open. And God, if you don't want me to do this, then slam it in my face because I'm dumb and I'll mess up. And I just want to do your will. Whatever you want, I'll do. Just make it clear. I ask for things. Gideon prayed specifically. Eliezer, the student of Abraham, was very, very specific. The problem with indefinite prayers is it becomes a formality. It's passionless. It's without burden. It's insincere. It's like people saying, well, listen, just stop by sometime. They're not actually expecting you to come. When you pull out your phone and show them the calendar app, now they think you're serious because you're asking specifically. When you pray, be specific. Pray and ask God for specific things. Pray in the Spirit. Being filled and led in the Spirit is a necessity, especially to see souls saved and to have your needs met. Listen to what it says in Acts 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I've been in those situations where things were just so upside down and backwards, I didn't even know what to ask for. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. And I've said to the Lord, Lord, I have no idea what to ask for, but I know something needs to be done. So whatever you decide to do, I'm going to be on board with. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit. I want you to stop right there. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. God knows what the Holy Spirit is thinking. God the Father does. And in like manner, the Holy Spirit of God knows what God the Father is thinking about you and your situation. That is why you can ask specific prayers and pause and get an answer. When you pray and say, Lord, who would you like me to encourage? I do this all the time. I'll be in the car by myself and I'll pray and then I'll say, Lord, who would you like me to encourage today? I'll be driving along and a name will come to my head and I'll stop. I'll just go, okay, hey, Siri, I want you to call so-and-so. Well, who do you think sent that message to me? Do you think that came from the devil? You really think the devil wants me to encourage people? Okay, so by process of elimination, where did that name come from? See, the Holy Spirit of God knows what the Father is thinking. There are things the Father would like you to praise him for. Have you ever thought to ask the Holy Spirit what those things should be? Holy Spirit, what would you like me to praise? What would the Father like me to praise him for today? And just pause for a second. Is there somebody I need to ask forgiveness of because I've wronged them? Then you pause. If nobody comes to mind, you're good to go. But if somebody does come to mind, do you honestly think the devil wants you to go apologize to somebody? Really? You think that's how the devil operates? No. So who gave you that name? See, when they were standing around the fire and Jesus said, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto you. You didn't learn that from someone else, but my Father in heaven. So the thought he thought came from God the Father. And just a few minutes later, when Jesus says, I'm going to Jerusalem, and they're going to crucify me, and Peter goes, no, you're not. What did he say to him? Get thee behind me, Satan. He identified that that thought that jumped in Peter's head and came out his mouth did not come from God the Father, but from the devil. So pray specifically. Pray in faith. Ask the Holy Spirit questions. And then act on the faith you do have. You're not expected to have all faith. But believe God for the things you can believe him for. I love in Mark 9 where the father of the demon-possessed child says, you know, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. And the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I believe you as far as I can right now. Help me out here. And the more the God answers, the more you read his Bible, the more you believe him for. You start asking for bigger things. That's why in Luke 17, the apostle said, increase our faith. Pray. Matthew 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. You don't get what you don't ask for. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Why do you think that is? Why do you think you don't get what you don't ask for? Because you would never ask. Because you would never acknowledge God. If every day you just had everything you needed or wanted, why would you ever talk to God? The Bible says in James 4, you lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight in war, yet ye have not. Why? Because you ask not. You can involve other people in prayers, by the way. In Matthew 18, 19, it says that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Nothing happens without prayer. Prayer keeps us from temptation. Prayer is the method in which God expects us to get everything we need from. Prayer is how we receive the fullness of joy. Prayer is how we understand what he thinks. The Bible says that who knows the mind of God but the Spirit of God that's in you. The Spirit of God knows what God thinks. So ask him and then respond. So how does prayer work? Well, prayer is a conversation between two people. Prayer is conversation with the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you're born again today, then you have access through Christ. And if you're right with God, then you have the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not complex. The world makes it complex. For you, you just need to remember how your children ask you for things. How does your children ask? Do they have to go through a big title? My great and holy mother who bore me and fed me of her own body, may I please have a cookie? I mean, you don't, does it take flowery language? No. How does a child talk to their parents? Mom, mom. Mom, 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 cookie, 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 cookie. And you think to yourself, well, that's just foolish. No, that works, actually. That works all the time, works every time. If you'll just put your, you know, when those little babies come running up to me and their hands go like that, my heart swells with what's called favor. Right? When a little baby toddles up to you and puts his hands in the air, that thing that swells up in your heart, that feeling that you cannot put into words, is referred to by in the Bible as favor. You are now seeing that child with favor. And that's how the heart of God swells when you put your hands in the air and you reach up to God in prayer. His heart swells with favor. And he answers. And so often, I like childlike prayers because childlike prayers work on me. And they work on our Father in heaven. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. That's how prayer works. Our heavenly gracious Father, sometimes we forget that children understand you best. Father, we let the problems of life complicate our understanding of you and our place in your kingdom and in your family. And tonight, Father, as we reviewed all the verses I could think of on prayer, I pray, Father, that you would remind us of them through the week, that prayer is essential for everything, that prayer is consistent, it's daily, it's communication, but it's not complicated. And Father, as your Holy Spirit prompts us, Father, we'll be mindful to respond in prayer. And Father, as we ask questions of the Scripture, ask questions of our circumstances, Father, I pray that you would answer as you so faithfully do in a way that we understand. And let it grow our faith. Let it be a witness to others. And let our children experience the same thing as they grow and watch us receive our prayers answered. In the next few moments, Father, as people pray, I ask that you'd answer in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play, whatever's on your heart tonight, talk to the Lord about it.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Jesus, I surrender humbly at his feet. I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender.
It's okay to have a prayer list. It's okay to keep track of prayers. Actually, it's beneficial because every answered prayer grows our faith. Heavenly Father, I love you, and I'm thankful that for the opportunity to be in your house tonight to study your word, how vibrant and alive it is, and how it instructs us and teaches us. Father, let us not complicate prayer, but let us not forsake it either. Make it a daily stay in our life, a daily event, but also throughout our day, a communication, a consistency, We ask, God, that in response to it, you would answer and it be a witness and a testimony to everyone around us of your existence as well as your love and provision. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May I look this way.